In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is an epiphany? Many describe it as that moment when you have a profound understanding about something that you really never realized before. It's like a bolt out of the blue, or that aha moment that you finally understand when you can say, I get it. The moment when it all comes together. That is one of the ways that we can look at the Epiphany season. It is looking at all those aha moments in which Jesus is revealed to be the Son of God, or the Messiah, or the Christ. On Epiphany Day, the wise men came and followed the star to the place where Jesus laid, in Bethlehem. Their epiphany came from seeing that the scriptures were true, that the child would be found just as the scripture said in Bethlehem, and that he would be under that star. Next week, Jesus will continue to show that he is the Son of God by fulfilling prophecies spoken by Isaiah. Also, it so happens next week that it is the commemoration of the conversion of St. Paul. So I encourage you to read through that again next week and see St. Paul's epiphany that Jesus is the Christ. But last week, we heard from the Father himself that this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased, and with proof of the Holy Spirit that, yes, Jesus is God's Son. Well, continuing from there, today we have the epiphanies of four different men. And though these are individual experiences of four men, they are also the same experiences or epiphanies that we have today. In the first half of today's text, John the Baptist lays out how his epiphany came about. He was out in the Jordan, as he does, baptizing folks and making straight the way of the Lord. Many people at this point, if you read a little bit beforehand at this point, mistake John for either the Christ or as Elijah coming back from the dead or as the prophet. It is only in the baptism of Jesus from last week that it is revealed that John is simply just a forerunner and Jesus was the beloved Son of God. John, the writer of this gospel, lays out the events that follow Jesus' baptism. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him, and he proclaims to all those around him that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We get to hear about Jesus' baptism from the perspective of John the Baptist. John apparently did not know who the Messiah was going to be, or that it was going to be his cousin Jesus. He knew his cousin Jesus, they were related, but he did not know that he was going to be the Messiah. No, John only knew two things. One, that he needed to baptize people so that the Lamb of God might be revealed to Israel through his baptisms. And two, that the one who would be, that would baptize with the Holy Spirit would have the Holy Spirit descend and remain with him after he is baptized. So with these two signs that he is looking for, John baptized. He baptized for the forgiveness of sins, as Matthew tells us, and he baptizes that the Christ might be revealed in these baptisms, that he will come along when the time is right. And so he did. He baptized until Jesus showed up, and John seemed to have an inkling or feeling that Jesus was the one who would be baptizing with the Holy Spirit. And he knew this to the point that he insisted that Jesus should baptize him. But Jesus insists otherwise. He insists that it would be fitting to fulfill all righteousness that John baptizes Jesus. So Jesus is baptized, and John the Baptist's revelation is fulfilled before his very eyes. He says, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. John is describing his epiphany moment. The moment when everything came together, that this knowledge that God the Father gave him one day to look out for finally came to pass. For John, it was at the baptism of Jesus that he realized that Jesus, his own cousin, was the Lamb of God and the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. There, in the waters of the Jordan, John had his aha moment that he was looking for. The Father revealed to John the Baptist exactly what to look for. He needed to look for the one on which the Holy Spirit dwelt. And in this case, it was the dove that dwelt on Jesus' shoulder. We then get to hear the impact of John's epiphany, and the impact of that we can see on the following day. The next day, Jesus is walking by John the Baptist, and John is accompanied by his two disciples. And John says to all who are around as Jesus comes by, "Behold the Lamb of God." And upon hearing this, his two disciples seemingly ditch John, their old master, and begin to follow Jesus. One of these men was a guy named Andrew, and the other one isn't named. Though usually when a disciple goes unmentioned in the Gospel of John, it is usually safe to say that it could have been John the Evangelist, or the disciple whom Jesus loved. These two men begin to follow Jesus, and Jesus asks them this question: "What are you seeking?" They respond to the question, what a question. They respond, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Though an odd answer to give, it wasn't all that unreasonable of a question. It was common for disciples to go to the place where their teacher lived to hear more of their teachings. By asking Jesus where he was staying, we could conclude that John the Baptist's disciples took the claim made by their former teacher very seriously. That if this is the Lamb of God that John the Baptist probably told his disciples about, then they probably knew that Jesus had a baptism prepared for them that was superior to John's. And they were right, because they would be there on that fateful Pentecost day and receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they knew to look for him, and they went to where he was staying, and they would continue to follow him for the rest of his ministry and beyond. For them, their epiphany came by hearing the word of their teacher, John the Baptist. When John proclaimed that Jesus was the Lamb of God, these words would penetrate their hearts and ears, and they would believe it. And the results of that? Faith. They followed Jesus. But the epiphanies don't stop there this morning. Because just like how the baptism of Jesus witnessed to John, and John witnessed to his disciple Andrew would witness to another. That person that Andrew would share his epiphany with was his brother Simon. Simon, a fisherman, as next week's text will tell us, would be brought to Jesus. When Simon meets with Jesus, Jesus gives him a new name. He calls him Cephas, or Peter, or in the Greek, Petros, the rock. Peter would also follow Jesus with his brother Andrew, and we all know that Peter would become one of the more well-known apostles. So well-known because of his own epiphany that he would have a little bit later from this time, which we recounted before service started today. The confession of St. Peter is where we see Peter's aha moment, the moment when it all comes together. Despite having followed Jesus for some time, Peter, I guess, still needed an epiphany. Jesus prompts it by asking the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This was Peter's epiphany. Peter had his aha moment when the Father reveals to him this divine revelation which he confesses. It is a confession that the Father gave to Peter. It was not something that he came up with on his own, that he, with his great intellect, mind, and reason, or holiness, that he just kind of came up with it one day. No, it is a confession that was given by the Father. And it is this confession given by the Father by which our church is built on. The church is not built on Peter. It is built on his confession. The same confession that we confess when we have our own epiphanies, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we are all bound together as the church on this epiphany, on this confession. Now, why are the epiphanies of these four men so important to us? These four epiphanies came about in very specific ways. And we too come to faith and have our own epiphany moments in the same way. For John the Baptist, the Christ was revealed to him in the waters of the Jordan through the baptism of Christ. We too receive this revelation about Jesus in that same baptism. When we are baptized by Christ into his baptism. In those waters, we receive our epiphany that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That the one who had the Holy Spirit rest upon him is the one who baptizes us with that same Holy Spirit in our baptisms. Andrew and John had their epiphany when John the Baptist proclaimed the word to them. That word being, "Behold, the Lamb of God," and no doubt telling them about this man, Jesus Christ. We too receive our epiphany when the word of God is preached to us. And when we hear about Jesus Christ and how he has justified all of mankind through his death and resurrection on the cross as the Lamb of God. Andrew then shared this good news with Peter and brought him to Jesus. And perhaps too, you too had someone share this good news with you. Perhaps you too had someone who brought you to Jesus, figuratively speaking. Maybe a faithful mother or grandmother. Or maybe a faithful father or grandfather. Maybe a friend invited you to church one day. Or maybe it's just some stranger that you barely even knew who brought you to church. Either way, we too are brought to Jesus by the words of others, by the preaching of our ministers, and we too meet with Jesus who gives us our new name, his name, in fact. Peter has his epiphany when the Father revealed to him that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in the same way, we too have received this truth about who Jesus is because it was revealed to us, not by the person who brought us to church, not by flesh or blood, not by our reason or our senses, not by our egos or anything else, not by our feelings. No. We believe, teach, and confess that we cannot, by our own strength, will, or reason, come to Jesus Christ or believe in him, but that the Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel, enlightened us with his gifts, and sanctifies and keeps us in the true faith. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals to us our epiphany, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The most important things about these connections is that God is working through means to reveal unto us these epiphanies about his Son. He uses the waters of baptism and grants us the Holy Spirit. He uses the spoken word and proclamation of the word of God through another to get the gospel of Jesus Christ into our hearts and into our ears. The Holy Spirit draws us unto Christ and grants us faith through all of these things. With the epiphany of our Lord, a light has come into the world. The light spreads to each one of us as we receive the light of Christ into our hearts and minds. We have our epiphanies that spread to others too, and it lights up the world. From Christ to John the Baptist, and from John the Baptist to Andrew and John, and from Andrew to Peter, and from the apostles to us. We receive this light, and we point back to Christ, the true light, the light that draws us to Him. We see in today's text many epiphanies. It is in Christ's baptism that John the Baptist sees Jesus as the Son of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Andrew and John hear the proclamation from John the Baptist and follow Jesus. Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ because the Father revealed that fact to him. We too receive this same epiphany in the same ways. In our baptisms, we recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. By the proclamation of the word by faithful pastors and Christians, we follow Jesus. The Father reveals to us that Jesus is the Christ who saves us. And it is this epiphany that we all share together. And it is that epiphany that we will always have with us wherever we go. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen.